Hey folks, this is Philip with the Everyday Fighter Podcast, where we share stories and insights from everyday fighters just like you. Today, I'm speaking with Will Tatum. He had a successful career in management for a healthcare organization, but well into his 60s now and retired, he continues to practice martial arts, and we get into a bit of his journey as well as some wisdom that he learned and really helped him out in his everyday life with his finances and his wife and children. But before we get into that, I wanted to go into our episode spotlight. As a reminder, these spotlights are unsponsored. These folks, for the most part, have no idea who I am. They definitely don't know that I'm doing this. But every once in a while, I run into organizations or individuals that I feel are doing really good work in the world, and I just want to give them a bit more exposure. Today, I wanted to talk to you about Raising Men Lawn Care Service. This is an organization that was created by Rodney Smith. He decided to start mowing the lawns of people in his area that couldn't do it. Maybe they were disabled, or maybe they just didn't have the money or the equipment or the ability to do it. So he just took it upon himself as a volunteer to do that for folks in his area. He has since expanded quite a bit, recruiting kids and adults all over the United States to mow the lawns of the needy in their communities. He's also traveled all across the United States, not only to mow lawns, but also dress up as Santa to give gifts to the homeless in all 50 states. So it's just a wonderful organization. If you want to get more information about them, just go to weareraisingmen.com. That's it for today's spotlight. Let's jump into our conversation with Will Tatum.
I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and it was a rough part of the neighborhood. Even though it's not as rough then as it wasn't as rough then as it is now, but I grew up as an only child with my mom, and we didn't we had little, very very little, but I was always active. I was always running, not running the streets. I'd say we were more running the sidewalks.
Okay.
You know, that was how my friends were. And we were bicycling and skating and all that stuff, went to the park. There was no fear about going places back then.
Okay.
You know, you didn't have to worry about that, at least in LA back then. Now it's a little bit more different. And I've always had a love for martial arts. Now, back when I was a kid, there was this show that was on, I think it was called The Green Hornet. Okay. And Bruce Lee was on that show. And the things he did were just amazing. And, you know, his style was Kung Fu. And I always liked that. So I started talking to my mom about it and said, hey, you know, I really like this. And so I don't know how we found this place. Back when I was in high school, and we went in this, I started in the summer. I just went one summer, and it was a martial arts school in Chinatown. And I don't know how we found it, but I took the bus. I took the bus everywhere as a kid.
That's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, downtown L.A. from where I live was only a couple of miles.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so it wasn't that far.
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with Chinatown up until then, but I went down to, I found the school in Chinatown. And it was a good school. I learned a lot. But when I started back in high school, I stopped. Okay, because my, that's another long story, but I didn't go to high school in my area. I went to high school in the valley. So it was really difficult for me to try and do that. But in the back of my mind, I knew I always wanted to do something in martial arts. So we're going to fast forward about, 20, 25 years. And since then I got married. And at that time, we were living in, my wife and I were living in an apartment in the Las Feliz area, not too far from Griffith Park. And I started working out at the Glendale YMCA, just working out. It was a nice place. It was cheap. It was inexpensive. And at the YMCA, there was this program that they were offering karate at the YMCA. And it was a style I never heard before. It's called Tung Sudo. And so I started taking it at the YMCA. I enjoyed it. The instructor was nice. He was a nice guy, Terry McMeekin. And so decided I wanted to get more involved in the program. And so I started taking classes at his dojo, which was in Eagle Rock, California. And I started from the ground up. I started as a white belt and went, I wasn't that good. Okay. I mean, coordination was never one of my fortes. It was always something I had to work at. But I stuck with it and just gradually moved up and got my black belt. It took me 3 years to get it. To get my black belt. But, you know, it was one of the most proudest moments that I really, because I earned that. I mean, not that I haven't learned anything in my life, but I just really enjoyed that. I earned it. I worked hard for it. And then I stopped because we started a family. But I always wanted to go back and get my second degree. I'm going to step back a little bit. When I started taking Tung Sudo, a few months later, my wife started taking it as well. Loretta started taking it also. And she was good. She got all the way up to third degree red. She got to third degree red belt. And there's a story behind that. Because when she got to second degree, she was testing for her third degree red belt, and I was already black belt. And she had a severe knee injury to the point that it required surgery. And so she went, she had the surgery, and it was long. And we had, we worked to get her recovered and et cetera. And she came back after she got recovered, did her third degree red belt. And then that was it. She was done. She did not want to go for black. She wanted to finish that part where she had started. Then after that, she was done. She didn't really want, it wasn't that crucial for her to get her first degree black belt. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well, because we were both taking martial arts at the time. But when I stopped, we had our family, started our family, but I wanted to go back to get my second degree black belt. So I did. I went back, and we had moved a couple of times. We purchased our second house, and so I was really commuting back and forth. We lived in Glendora at the time. I was going back and forth to Eagle Rock, but I got it. I got my second degree black belt, and you know, the training was really, it wasn't intense, but it was hard. It was strong, and not only did I work out at my instructor's studio. But also, we went to a couple of times. I would go out to his instructor studio, which was in Sherman Oaks, out in the valley, and we'd work out there. Not often, because it was a long drive. The traffic, of course, wasn't nearly as bad as it is now. But I went out and worked out in his. So that's my story. That's how I got involved in martial arts and always had a passion for it and all. I stopped after I got my second degree black belt because there are other things that I got involved in and I was interested in. The commute was getting difficult, going back and forth with the traffic. My job, I was getting more and more responsibilities. And my kids. It was try to get them interested, particularly my son. But he didn't quite like it. And so that was kind of the thing. If he wasn't going to be involved in it, I was going to be involved in issues in activities that he liked and enjoyed. He really loved soccer. He was good at that. So we got involved in that, and so it just, that's how I kind of pulled away from martial arts up until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did you choose to continue, like, take it up again?
I always wanted to.
Mm.
I just didn't know what style I wanted.
Mm.
Because of the fact, the one thing that I really didn't like about Tung Sudo was the formality. The, you know, you have to move this way, step, chop, block, step, and then you move on to your next boat. You have to do that. It was pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. I didn't, but as I have gotten older, my nature is to get more away from formality and go more into what's practical.
Mm.
And we certainly did practical stuff. We did sparring. We did self-defense. But the formality was an integral part of Tung Sudo. And as a result, I wanted to find a style that didn't have that. And so I just looked. I would graduate, I would step in the studios in my area and just check them out and see what they were about. I knew I didn't want to do taekwondo because you have to kick to the moon. I wasn't that interested in, I can't even pronounce the names now. So I just was looking. And funny enough, when a friend and I, we were at a Dodger game. He's a friend. He's a high-ranking officer for LAPD, and he's always been into, you know, he knows how to take care of himself as well. And he's a very good friend. Our kids grew up together, went to school together. And we were at a Dodger game together. We were talking, and he said, yeah, his daughter had taken a style called Krav Maga.
Mm.
And she, at the time, was living on the Westport of L.A., and so she was taken in a school called in Santa Monica. I don't know the school. And she really enjoyed it. And so he told me a little bit about it from what he knew. I said, oh, that sounds interesting. That's maybe what I'm looking for. So I looked online to learn a little bit more about it. And then I started looking for schools. And there is a school out in Rancho Cucamonga. Don't know the name of it. And I went by there when they were closed and just kind of looked into it. It was a little far from home, but, you know, I was willing to do it. And then I put it in the back of my mind, and I started looking again. And I came across online this studio. And I looked on the website, and they had a Facebook site. I looked on that. I saw that they were really family-oriented. And they were close.
Mm.
Because, you know, here in San Dimas, and I live in Claremont. I mean, this is like, oh, this might be something. So I decided to just take a drive in and one evening take a look. And I came in, and I met a young lady at the desk. Don't know her name. Couldn't tell you. I wouldn't recognize her now. But I just said, hey, I'm here. I want to see the Krav Maga. And she said, well, these are when the classes are. We have different classes here, karate, BJJ, and Krav Maga. And the Krav Maga class is this time and this time in the evening. And so she said, you're welcome to come and observe as much as you want. Very nice. And the thing that struck me that when I was here, everyone would walk by and they were polite.
Mm.
It wasn't, I could tell, you can tell right away when there are a lot of egos.
Mm.
And I didn't see that. I saw people who were pleasant, polite. What I really paid attention to was how the children were so respectful when they came in here. They were talking to Shihan. They were talking to Shihan's wife. Very respectful, very pleasant. I looked and saw the signs about very important you get your homework done. And also, which really struck me is that I said, this has a religious backing. This has a Christian backing. I can tell just by the signs. And that's me. That's my faith. I'm a strong Christian. So I said, okay, I'm going to come back and check it out. Came back and met the young lady again, and she said, oh, yeah, it's in right there. So I walked in and just observed the class. Now, the one thing that was a turnoff for me was that the class was packed. It was crowded.
Yeah.
And I'm one who's, you know, I'm a, you know, I stay away from as many crowds as I can. And so that was kind of a distraction for me. But I still paid attention and I watched how there was work, but there was no pressure.
Mm.
There was workout, but there was always positive encouragement. And that was what I was looking for.
Mm.
And then on top of that, just by coincidence, someone walked past me and said, "Will?" And I looked and I recognized a guy, didn't know who he was. And he introduced himself and I said, and we had gone to the same church.
Hmm.
Yes. Over at Christ Church of the Valley, before our family left and went to Purpose Church afterward. But I was head of ushers for one of the services there, and he was one of the ushers.
Hmm.
And he was an LAPD officer, and we talked about our families, and he said, "Yeah, my son's he's grown now, and he's also an LAPD officer." And so I told him when I was here, and he was he had started about maybe 4 months before.
Mm.
And he was very encouraging. He said, "You know, yeah, try it out. It's great. It's all the things that I described just now." He kind of emphasized that. He said the same, he reiterated.
Mm.
That, yeah, this is what the school is about. This is what they are. This is what they try and do.
Mm.
So I haven't seen him since. I know, because he comes at night. I come during the day. So I haven't seen him since. Mm. But and then to top it off, Shihan came up and introduced himself and started talking and started giving me a little bit of history of the program and stuff. So, and you can tell I always investigate. Do my research before I get involved in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're investing your time and your resources, you want to make sure you're doing the right thing, because mm-hmm. you don't want to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got in.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I mean, there's a lot of places I want to go now, but in particular, I want to go back now to when you were first interested in martial arts. You talked about the Green Hornet and seeing Bruce Lee, yeah. and that type of thing. Was it more of just, wow, that was a cool thing to do? Or was there, I know you said it wasn't, you know, South Central back then is not what it is now.
No.
Did you have any challenges with bullying or getting into fights or anything like that when you were growing up? So that this might be something?
No, mm. very rarely.
Mm.
I did have an adult pull a knife on me once when I was at the bus stop, and I laughed him off and just ran away and, you know, just kind of joking. Yeah, man. And I could tell he was high on something, but and so I took the next bus stop from then on, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I was always kind of big,
mm.
Not coordinated, but big,
mm.
and so usually people left me alone.
Mm.
I have always had an instinct to stay out of issues and trouble,
mm.
and also my mom took no mess. My mom took no mess from. You know, we raising a single child, single son by yourself, and in that area, she had respect for the neighborhood and the kids and stuff. And at that time, that area was more, you know, you had other parents kind of looked out for the kids in the area, that type of thing. And so, no, I didn't have those type of issues
mm-hmm.
At all. I just stayed away from those type of issues. Mm. I stayed away from those type of trouble. And I had, my focus was on school, getting my work done, helping my mom, and just trying to be the best person I could be. Mm. I was involved with my church back then as well, as a kid. So no, I didn't have that. I really just loved the artistic way of Bruce Lee.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I just loved how he moved. And so subsequently, I went and saw some of his movies as well. It's like, oh, this guy is good.
Mm.
This guy is really, really good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. I just really, and of course, now looking back, you look at the clips and you look at you hear the stories how he put those movies together, and then you look at his history. It's like, wow. No, that, yeah, this is good.
It's interesting to me that you're gravitating towards that kind of physical, artistic expression.
Right.
But then also you mentioned that I'm very uncoordinated.
Yeah.
Right? Was it such that you just didn't have the opportunity, or you just didn't have any interest in like other sports at the time
either? Oh, yeah.
Or?
I played basketball.
Okay.
I wasn't that good.
Mm.
I played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty decent in soccer. I was a decent goalie in soccer. Tried baseball. Horrible. just horrible at it. But I've always loved sports.
Mm.
Always love sports. And now I know what I could have done back then to be a better athlete.
Hmm.
Jump rope, the training, the exercises, which I do now,
mm-hmm.
which I'm a better athlete now than I was back then.
Hmm.
Okay. But I didn't have anyone to guide me. My mom didn't know about sports.
Hmm.
Okay. And they didn't have that many programs where I was that I could get involved in that. So they just didn't.
Hmm.
So my passion back then was reading. I could sit and I would have a stack of books, whether they're real books or detective books or comic books. And I'd read all day.
Mm.
I'd read all day. I just love that. So between, I love bicycling. Oh, yeah, I love bicycling. Skating not so much because I fall all the time. And that coordination thing came in.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was the key. So I always loved sports. I did. You know, I went to, when I graduated from high school, I went to L.A. City College and then transferred to USC. I had an opportunity to go to USC, and I always wanted to go to USC because, you know, once again, it's a couple miles away from my house where I grew up. And they also had programs for the kids, tutoring programs for the kids. My mom took me there. They had a summer program. I went there when I was 7th or 8th grade, and it was a put on by the athletes at USC for football players. And they really, those guys really took care of the kids.
Mm.
I mean, they really did. And you have guys from all over, but I just happened to have a couple of guys who were from that area. And the group of us that were with those guys, they took care of us.
Mm.
They really did. They took us on in additional field trips in addition to that. And that sealed it that if I had an opportunity to go to SC, I was going to go. And I did, and so I went. But and they had programs and stuff, but it was always positive, and they always were, you know, during the time that I was there as a kid, they always emphasized it. But that had a huge impact on my life as well. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. When you got a chance to revisit your, I guess your attraction to martial arts, mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. And you mentioned the formality. Yeah. Of it, but that didn't bother you as much back then, or was that something that was kind of like, oh, I'll endure through it, or was that,
you hit it right on the head? I'll endure through it.
Mm.
Because I wanted to learn the martial art itself. I wanted to learn the skill, and so I, you know, this is what you got to do.
Mm.
You know, there are positives and negatives in anything you go through in life, and I felt that the learning, the goal, and also the objective, I wanted to get a black belt.
Hmm.
I wanted to get a black belt. And so, and in the dojo itself was, I really liked it. It was, again, very much like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Family oriented, good people. And we enjoyed each other. We enjoyed each other's company, and we enjoyed learning. We had a good time. It was a neat place to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you deal with the formality to get what you want, to get mm-hmm. your objective.
Because what you started, again, what, how old were you when you started Tung Soo Do?
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. I think I was 35.
Okay. So, I mean, what was it about... You mentioned, like, very adamantly even now, I wanted a black belt. I wanted that
yeah.
black belt.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you? Like, because, like, I mean, I'm curious about that. Like, what did it represent something? Did it, like, if I get this, it means this? or what was it about this, that mindset, that thought?
At the time, to me, it was the pinnacle of learning. However, as you get through it, you recognize that it's just the beginning. Mm. But at the time, it was, to me, you've made a mark in that particular style. Mm. Because they just don't hand those out. You have to earn that. You have to go through training. You have to be evaluated. And then when it comes time to get the black belt, you don't get it at your dojo. You get it at your instructor's dojo. Mm. And that meant a lot to me at the time. So that's what it meant then. Now, it's not the pinnacle. I'm also older, mm. you know, and the goal to me is to learn. Mm. You know, the goal to me is to learn and to get better and improve your skills, and the quote belts will come. But at the same time, it's a goal, mm. and my goal is to get. I'm not the youngest kid in the world anymore, you know, and so I want to achieve as much as I can, when I can, mm. And it's just a personal goal that I have, and I also feel that everybody should have certain goals and objectives in their lives, mm. whatever they might be. Okay, you want to learn a foreign language, you want to learn a musical instrument, you want to get better as in sports, you want to get better in the arts, you want to be a better photographer. You have certain goals that you set. And my goal that I've set for Krav Maga is I want to get better, and I want to get my black belt. Okay, and then after that, we'll see how it goes. I'll probably want to get my second degree. And as long as my body is healthy, I want to be able to do something. Mm-hmm. And also, it represents an increase in the skill level mm-hmm. as well. Because that means, yeah, your skills are getting better. You're up there. Look what you can do now that you couldn't do when you first started. Mm-hmm. What you couldn't do last month. You know, so I look at that as those are you have to have an objective in life,
hmm. and they also like having some sort of progress that you're making as well, and you're yes. measuring that.
Yes,
yeah,
most definitely.
Is that something that you figured out on your own, or was that something that you got from your mom or like somewhere else?
Me,
yeah,
no, I got that from me.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've always had a drive that if I'm going to do something, just I got that from mom. Mm. Don't do anything halfway. Don't do anything half-ass. Mm. If you're going to do something, do it. Mm. You know, just don't sit back and do it. You know, you can certainly try something and see, oh, this that I don't like this. This doesn't work out. Whatever. However, if you're going to commit to something, dog, commit to it. Mm. Just don't do it halfway. Don't mm. waste your time.
So you had that feeling. I mean, that's kind of part of that mentality already going yeah. into. Yeah. So that you already had set in your mind that, okay, well, I'm moving towards that goal yep. even before starting up with this, yep. With Tang Soo Do. It's like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I'm going for the black.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's right. There's very few things that I've started that I haven't finished. Very, very few. Yeah, it's just how my mindset is made because I get committed to something, you know. And there are certain times that you can't do something because physically you can't do it, you know. But if I feel that I have the ability to do it, I'm always gonna try.
Mm. Let's talk about that a little bit because I mean, talk about goal setting, sure. Especially if it's something that. And I'm sure you, and I know definitely with myself, like trying to instill that within our children, particularly mm. our own children,
yeah.
right? It's like, hey, work towards something, have a goal in mind, whatever. But then there's a balancing out. I mean, you just made a reference to it now. It's like, okay, well, I have a feeling that I can do it, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to go 100%. Mm-hmm. What about those times when maybe you do make it that 50% or that 80% or whatever, and then you hit the point of like, oh my gosh, there's, I don't know if it's, like there's almost a reality that comes up that wasn't there when you made the initial decision? Like, okay, now I've got to pull out, or, you know, it's more detrimental for me to stick with it than to get out of it.
I cannot think of anything that I've been involved with that's happened. I failed.
Okay.
I have failed, and it's more from an academic standpoint than it was a physical standpoint. But I can't think of anything that if I'm involved in it, and I'm really trying to think about that, I'm going back through my history. I can't think of anything. I literally can't think of anything that if I've been involved in it that I've just told, I said, this isn't for me. Yeah, I can't.
But you, I mean, your failing is not the same thing as what you're talking about here.
Right.
Like that, to your mind, it's like, okay, well, if I fail, I still, you still tried it. You're still putting forth your best effort. You don't feel like you quit on something.
Well, no, I didn't quit. Now, when I failed twice, and this was back in school, when I look back on it both times, and we're talking many, many years back, I recognize that I could have put forth a lot more effort, a lot better effort. I recognize that both times. And the first time, it was just academically challenging. I didn't have the skill set to do what needed to be done. And so I had to step back, evaluate what needed to be done, and then take the next steps. The second time I failed, that was just me screwing up. I messed up a semester, I failed, and this was when I was in grad school, and my chairman of my department said, you can go back and take some undergrad courses, and if you get straight A's, we might consider letting you back in the program. So that semester I went, and I got tutors, I got help, I worked my ass off, and I came back that next semester and handed my chairman my grades. I said, here you go, I got straight A's. And he just looked at me in surprise and was shocked. And I talked to the administrative assistant who was like, because this was back in Virginia when I was in Richmond. And they, her family was kind of looking out after me when I was living there. And she talked to me afterward. He said, she told me that he went into his office and shaking his head, he got straight A's. I don't believe it. He got straight A's. Because I found out he was probably going to let me back in the program anyway. Okay. But I gave him no excuse not to. Because I got straight A's when I had never, and I had never, ever gotten straight A's before. Anytime. But I, that told me that I needed to put in more effort each and every time I did something. Don't half-ass it. Don't, it goes back to how I was taught. Don't just slough off and half-ass it. And there are times, there are going to be times in work, because it happened when I was in my career, that something didn't work out. It's like, okay, I blew it. You know, I didn't go into depth. I should have done this. And I should have dug more. But you know, life is continuous learning. It's not going to be perfect. And you have to recognize what your deficits are and what your successes are. What can get you to fall down and be aware of those, and what can get you to succeed, and emphasize that as you go forward in life. And recognize that life is always an adjustment. You always have to adjust, whether it's helping your staff and working a budget, you know, getting up in the morning to do what you need to do. You always have to constantly adjust, because it's not, your life is not going to be perfect, but you have to work at it. You have to work at it.
Like, is there a situation where, I mean, you talked about even with your wife earlier, like, you had it in your mind, I'm getting my black.
Yeah.
Would there have been any situation for you? And I know it's hard to kind of like maybe hard to you know think about it now, but like where it would have been acceptable for you to okay, I'm just going to get my first degree stripe on my red and not get no. the black.
Mm. No, that's no. Mm-mm. No, can't think of it. Mm. The only reason that could happen if I had an injury or something. Mm. Okay, then of course, okay, I can't physically, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then even then I would talk to Shihan. I would say, okay, I've got this injury. How can we adjust? Because I still got a goal I got to meet. Mm, mm. You know, that's just how I am. That's yeah, how
yeah.
I roll.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What I want to go into a little bit about when you and your wife trained together.
Okay.
So was that your idea or hers?
We're talking many years ago. I think it had to be hers because I, you know, the one thing you learn about a marriage is that you don't push your spouse.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's like our marriage is such that we do things together. We have things that we do separately. Mm. My wife had always worked out and was always active. And I think she saw what I was doing and thought she'd be interested in doing. But it wasn't me going and saying, hey, why don't you try this? But I was like, she saw the classes. She saw what I was doing. And that's her. That's her thing. Mm. My wife's got some serious skills. Mm. You know, she's a violinist. Very, very good violinist. She's played in some really neat places. And, you know, my wife is very, very smart. Mm. Very smart. And, you know, she has a mind of her own. And she determines what she wants to do and how she wants to do it. I'll share different things with her. Like, I remember when I first started here, she was very encouraging about it. But the first thing she said, nope, not for me. Mm. You know, I didn't even have to ask her. I don't think I even asked her. She said, no, that's just not what she wants. Mm. That's just not her thing. Mm.
Yeah. What was that dynamic like between you two after she started training with Tang Soo Do? Were the things that came up that were new about how you interacted with each other, so things that you learned about her, maybe things that she learned about you, being now in a different environment than just at home or like community or family?
Not really.
Mm.
No.
No surprises there?
No, there are no surprises. Mm. None whatsoever. Can't think of a thing.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Nope, not one thing. No, she... you know, as I said, she's her own individual, and as am I. Mm. And we enjoy that time that we spent together as a couple doing that. But I didn't know, because she's always been determined, and she always knows what she wants to do. We didn't. I can't think of anything. Now we're talking, goodness, almost 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of anything that we learned in that regard. Mm-hmm. No, what I learned more about, I started learning more about my wife and differences was when we started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you know when you're getting with someone that I was with a good person. But wow, I didn't know she was going to be such a great mom. Mm. She's so good. She's so patient. And you learn these things about each other as you go older. I would hope she would say the same thing about me as far as a dad is concerned, because you don't recognize as you're looking forward in your life, how that person is going to be as you go forward in life. You just don't. You unfortunately hear of people whose marriages don't last and they crash and burn. It baffles me.
Mm.
It baffles me because we have such a good relationship. You know, we've been married 32 years and we have such a good relationship and we just enjoy each other and we enjoy each other's company and we enjoy it when sometimes, you know, you need to be apart. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're married, I've always told people that you don't always have to stay together all the time. You need to give yourself some breathing space. Mm-hmm. You know, let her do her thing, I'll do my thing, you know, and then we come together, we enjoy company together. So, yeah.
So, I mean, you're able to, it's not like, if you're challenging her and sparring or anything like that, making it, you know, she's having a hard time or you're having a hard time in class, that's going to go out into your home life or vice versa.
No.
It's very, you can keep that separation.
And we never sparred each other in class. You know, my wife is a little thing. So, yeah. I'm trying to think back. No, I don't think we ever sparred each other.
Mm-hmm.
No, we encouraged each other. And I remember when I went for my black belt, she was there. Just she was there with me all the time, and she was so encouraging, particularly with the sparring. She was real. She was so encouraging that, you know. But we're always there for each other. Always.
What was the most challenging part for you when you started down, you know, the Tang Soo Do and going for your black? That whole process. I mean, it took 3 years for you to go through that. Is there any area there that kind of stuck out for you that was, oh man, this was rough?
Remembering the forms, remembering the katas. I remember having to practice those over and over and over again until I got them. That was it. And the other thing as well, and I find that even now, you have to remember not to compare yourself to other people. You see somebody out there who's good, you know, who's got skills. I mean, that person's got skills. He or she's really, you know, and it took me a while to recognize, good for them, you know. Happy for them. If I can emulate certain things, I'm going to emulate certain things. But at a young age, younger, much younger than I am now, that was always I think an issue for me, that I would look at someone and compare. But it's like, you know, just like there are great basketball players and they're good basketball players. They're great golfers and they're decent golfers. Same thing. Certain people just have skills, skill sets. Even now, as I said, I think I told you that, you know, I'm taking these golf lessons now and it's doggone frustrating. I was out there yesterday because I have my lesson on hitting the driver. And I was out there and could not hit that thing in the air yesterday when practicing. And I sent him a text and he said, don't get frustrated. It's the most challenging thing in the world. In the meantime, I'm looking next to me on the driving range. He's got you, pop, pop, pop. You know, this hitting this so easily. It's like, okay, focus on what you're trying to do. Focus on your lesson, working on your body, working on your position, working on your grip. Because it's not about, they probably had to go through the same thing. If they did, big deal. If they didn't, okay. Because some people can get stuff easily, some people can't. And it's easier for me now to adjust to that because I'm so competitive. I'm so want to do things the right way all the time that I feel that I should be able to do this. And this is like, okay, fine. Then you get on the pro course. You know, if you think you can get on the pro tour, you can't right now. So just focus on what you can do and just work on it. You know? Same thing with martial arts. You can only do this. You can't do that. You eventually be able to do this. Some of this you may not be able to do. Focus on what you can do. Just do the best you can with it. You know, you're only going to be in this world for a little long, you know, for a little while. Do the best you can with what you can.
Is that something you had to learn
continuously?
It's still learning that
continuously. I officiated high school basketball. And there are guys who are younger than I am who are, boom, they're so good. They're out there doing college games now. And it's like, you know, I have to work hard to do varsity and associate varsity games. And these kids are out here now. There's a guy who was in our unit who's younger than you, okay, who was in our unit for 3 years, Aegon. He is now in the G League, the D League, NBA. He got picked up. And, I mean, he was doing high-level varsity games his second year in our unit. And now he's doing NBA level. Looked on television once in a summer league game, and there he was on television doing it. I have a couple of friends from our unit who are NBA officials right now. and you know they're much older than Aegon, but they you know they're younger than I am. They're just good, and they work at it, and they have a skill set and match a skill set with their natural ability, and they're just good. That's just the way life is, you know. They can get out there with LeBron and Kobe and out there, and they give him any grief. It's like, bang, you get a T, or bang, or you have a conversation with them. They're not intimidated by that. Mm. You just have to have that mindset. You have to have that skill set. And not everyone's got it.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So same thing with this.
So what do you what is that process like for you? Like, do you feel a pang of, because you say you're very competitive.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's still something you're working on. Is there something you say to yourself, or something like, you know, how do you turn yourself around when you find yourself in those moments? Or are you able to catch yourself when you're having those moments?
I catch myself now.
Mm.
Yeah. Now I catch myself and get back. I'll tell you, the one thing that Krav Maga has really helped me with is my focus.
Mm.
Because my mind has always been boom, 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 boom. That's the way I've always been. So now when I'm here and I'm in instruction, I have a class, I might find myself doing that, but I get right back to it. Focus on what you're being taught, focus on the skill, focus on this. And that has really helped a lot. So now, like yesterday, I was giving you this example of the driving range. I was frustrated, but my focus was so much better. Because, okay, am I doing my grip? Is my stance proper? Am I addressing the ball proper? Am I dipping my shoulder? Am I lifting my head too soon? Am I standing up too soon? What's my posture like? These are things that Krav Maga has helped, because it's helped me to narrow my focus on what it is I'm trying to learn.
Mm.
And it has really helped me with golf. It's helped me with officiating as well. Keeping your focus.
Well, I think that's something that you alluded to earlier, is that you enjoy that process of learning. You're curious.
Yeah.
You know, like your mind is like, oh, what about this? What if this? What if that?
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
But then especially when it comes to, especially when we're doing things here, particularly in sparring.
Yeah.
If your mind wanders too much, that's what
you'll pay for it.
You'll pay for it. You get pinged a little bit.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny. Now, in sparring, my mind doesn't wander.
Mm.
If I am actively engaged in something, my mind doesn't wander. It's when the instruction component is there.
Mm.
That's when my mind kind of wanders. It's like, back to what he's talking about. No, come on back. It does. I mean, that's just the way I'm built.
Mm.
You know, different people have a stronger focus than I do. And so me, I have to work on my focus. And it's a continuous thing. You know, when you get to a certain point in life, you know, you have to, what is it, the Clint Eastwood movie? Oh, man's got to know his limitations. Oh. So I know my limitations.
Mm.
But at the same time, I also recognize that there's so much that I can do. And I'm not going to limit myself if there's something that I can do. And there's a balance, you know. I'm not jumping out of an airplane, you know. But at the same time, there's certain things in my life now. I'm not jumping off a cliff. And I have friends now, when they go to Hawaii, they let them jump off this cliff into the water. I ain't doing that.
Sure.
I'm not doing that. I've seen too many bad things. I've seen idiotic things. And so, you know, young and dumb. I'm not young and dumb. I'm older and, like, think a little wiser. So there's certain things I just won't do. But there's certain things I know, it's like, I can do this. And I can do this well, and I'm going to work at it until I can do it well.
Well, let me ask you real quick about that, because, I mean, whatever action somebody takes, right? Mm-hmm. It's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then the motivations for it can be a little bit different as well. Mm-hmm. There is, and even if we just put it in these terms, some people are fighting against or away from something, and some people are fighting for or towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you lean more on one or the other on that one? Like, for example, like, you know, for me, a lot of times when I see, talk about age or whatever, you know, getting older, I definitely feel it myself, is I don't want to be in a situation where I need that much, you know, a lot of help. You know, I want to be independent or whatever. So I think initially, you know, for some things, my feeling is like, I don't want that. So I'm trying to get away from it. I'm fighting against, like, you know, being out of shape or like having help or that type of stuff. Right. But is that something that's more in your mind, or is it more of like, oh no, I have so much energy that I need to put it towards something else. Like you're going towards something else instead, or
no? I think you hit it for me. Being in the healthcare industry for all the years that I wasn't a physician. You know, I was in the management side, but I saw so many people who would come into our medical center, and I looked at them and I said, if all possible, I don't want to be in that position. Mm. And sometimes it can't be helped, the circumstance they are. But I'm sorry, most times, more times than not in our society, you can prevent a lot of issues from happening. Mm. Okay? Your diet, your lifestyle, you know, your exercise or lack thereof. And I'm determined that anything can happen to us at a snap of a finger. I get that. I understand that. Mm. And there's nothing we can do about, you know, most diseases. But things that I can prevent, I'm going to prevent. Mm. And for the most part, it means staying in shape. It means not kicking back and being lazy. It means working. Even at this stage of my life, I am going to work. I am not going to be the person who has a little pot belly, you know, big old belly hanging out over their belt. It's not going to be me. Mm. I got a scare about 3 years ago. I didn't realize I was heavy. I was about 40 pounds heavier. Mm. My personal physician had retired. And so I asked a friend who was my age to be my physician, and he did, and called me into his office after he got my blood test results, and I got a lecture because my cholesterol was up, my blood pressure was up, and he said, "You're on the fast track to really hurting yourself." Mm. So got home and I talked to my wife, and I got a lecture from her too. Like, yeah, you're eating wrong, blah blah blah. I said, okay. So as a result, I started eating better, watching my salt intake, my exercising program. It's funny, it's not nearly what it is now, but it ramped up. Mm. It ramped up more. And I lost 35 to 40 pounds, literally. And I was determined I was going to keep that weight off. And I was not, because I was seeing, people with pre-diabetes syndrome and high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and who are putting themselves in danger of strokes, and who got strokes because of that. It's like, that's not going to happen to me. Mm. You know, if I can help it, it's not going to happen to me. And I thank my friend, he's retired also, and I thank him. You know, I said, dude, you saved my life. Mm. He said, no, you did yourself. I said, no, but you brought it to my attention. Because I did choose him as a doctor because I know he wasn't going to, you know, he was chief of our department before he stepped down, before he retired also. And I knew he wasn't going to, you know, Leon never minced words. Mm. He never minced words. And he was straight up with me and told me. And as a result of that, I am taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so I see that as an issue that, you know, other people have. And I wish I could just reach out to people and shake them and say, you don't have to do this to yourself. Mm. You can do better.
Mm. But you're not like, it's not like, it's not like you're fearful of it all the time, right? That's not, it's like,
no.
Like you see, okay, because you were exposed to that in your career, like, oh wow, that's, I don't want to be in that spot. Mm-hmm. But like once you're doing the things, once you're working out, once you're eating out, eating right and that type of thing, it's not, I'm eating this to stay away from that. It's like, okay, now that's just part of you now. That's your lifestyle. It was just like an indicator for you. Yeah. Like, okay, I don't want that. So let me focus on the things I'm going to do. Like, you're not really running away from it at this point.
No, no. I'm living my life. I am living my life, and I am very blessed. I'm living my life. I have a very good life. Both my wife and I do. We've made very good decisions in our life. you know, as far as saving money and not overspending, and being cautious and not seeing, you see something out there, well, we didn't have to have it. You know, we were very conservative early in our lives and early in our marriage and with our kids, and we planned to the point now that we were able to retire, both of us, because we put a huge amount of money away as we were working. And it is paying off now. And it's not like, and when I say huge, I'm not talking about we were making a gobs of money. Sure. I'm just saying that 18 to 20% of our income, every single paycheck, went towards investing. We didn't see it, didn't miss it, didn't have to have it. On top of that, we kept our bills low. Our spending was very thrifty. We didn't have to have everything under the sun. And we also tried to impart that on our children. And so as a result, when we got to this stage in our life, which comes a lot quicker than people think, and I tell young people this all the time, it comes a lot quicker than you think. Get a financial advisor. Start putting money away now. Do it now. Because we did, and it paid off. And I have other friends who have done that, and it has paid off. Unfortunately, I have friends who, my age, who didn't do it. And they will be working, unfortunately, until they can't work anymore. And that doesn't make any sense when you can plan. So I digress, but that's part of, to me, what's made our lives successful.
You know? Well, I think, you know, it's in line with a lot of things we were talking about already anyway. I mean, like, you had this goal in mind that you were not going to be diverted from. You know, whether it was a black belt or whether it was like this, you know, this retirement lifestyle, et cetera. So, you know, there's, it's, you understood what, you know, you made it sound like such that it was, you were, it wasn't a sacrifice to do those things at the time. It was the lifestyle that you decided to live.
I tell this story a lot. When I first started with Kaiser as a lower level manager, I thought I was just going to be there for a couple of years. Okay. And I remember Ray. Ray had been at Kaiser for years. He was helped many jobs, nicest guy in the world. And we were talking, he said, "Well, did you put your paperwork in for the Kaiser, what they call the Plan B account, the investment account?" Because Kaiser has a pension program that they automatically contribute, but you can also put in for Plan B, which is a separate program. I said, "Ray, no, man, I'm not going to be here that long. I don't need to do that." And he looked me dead in the eye and he said, "You're here now." And Phil, that was one of the few times as a young, dumb kid, you know, that I listened. I thought about it. And the next day, because we didn't have computers back then, the next day I went and submitted my paperwork and for that account. And I think I put in like 5% of my income. And then 10%. And then I think I put between 18% and 20%. And then from that time, when I first started at Kaiser, through my 30-plus years at Kaiser, I constantly contributed to that. And so, in addition to the pension plan that I got when I retired, we had this as well.
All right.
Because I listened to somebody.
You're right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I listened to somebody because I wasn't into listening that much when I was younger at that time. I was, you know.
Well, he cared enough to do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. And I know Ray's long gone now, but if I could, I would thank him because that was a huge impact on our lives. It really, really was because, And so, again, I tell people, you don't have to spend every single dime that you make. You don't have to. Crucial.
Will, thanks again. That was awesome.
My pleasure.
Folks, I hope you appreciated that conversation with Will. You just had a lot of great knowledge to share, both in martial arts and outside of it. And for me, he's just a great example of somebody that, regardless of their age, will continue to grow and pursue the things that are important to them. That's it for this episode. This is Philip with the Everyday Fighter Podcast. Talk to you next time.